here to bring you a lot more action with probably a very action-packed, probably the best division in the league in the AFC North. Of course, I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Chris Rankin, Weasel, here to bring more action, bring more prognostication, and the stories of the preseason. Starting off with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, last year, did a pretty decent job getting into the second round of the playoffs. Couldn't topple the Colts. A lot of teams have a problem with that. But we still have Joe Flacco, Mark Bulger, now a backup in Baltimore, and Troy Smith, probably one of the best third stringers in the league just because he's short. unfortunately, it's probably a lot of it. Running back core, pretty darn solid. Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, along with fullback LaRon McClain. The receiver core is the thing I find most interesting. Derek Mason, Anquan Boldin, Dante Stallworth? Did I read that right?
Yes.
And then Mark Clayton. Look, let me tell you up front, Boldin's numbers in touchdowns, catches, and yards was better than the entire receiving core of the Ravens altogether. I start looking, and by the way, Todd, he's a tight end as well. I start looking at the running backs in the receiver core. I'm like, yes, this is a good team. The Ravens have been known for defense. They've parted ways with a few defensive players, got some defensive players getting old. We'll cite some injuries that are going to be an issue this season coming up in a minute. But then I get to quarterbacks a lot. Guys, maybe I'm in the minority here. Joe Flacco, I'm saying it up front, nice guy, overrated.
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
Okay.
I just fell in love with the guy, and I'm like, whatever.
Because I only made it to the playoffs in rookie year. Yeah, so did Ben Roethlisberger and a lot of other people, but yeah. Anything to say on that, Chris? Overrated?
Well, we'll see this year. I think he'll be better this year with Bolden there.
Well, look, I'd be
He had a decent rookie year last year. I mean, he did come from a 1AA school, but, I mean, the combines before and all the other throwing competitions he won against all these other top-rated quarterbacks like Stafford and the other quarterbacks came out last year.
It's his numbers, though. I mean, at the best, you could call him a competent game manager. He may have more touchdowns than interceptions, but just barely, you know. His completion percentage is a lot lower than I'd like. But again, you got Anquan Boldin. And then when you're playing, and something worth mentioning, too, is when you're playing in one of the toughest defensive divisions in the league. Look, I mean, all the people want to give it to the NFC East, and yeah, they're good. But any crew that includes the Skins and the Eagles in their current state right now can't be the best. Of course, then people come back and say, well, what about the Browns, Cal? But we'll get to that in a minute. And by the way, forgot to mention it, as what often happens to O-linemen, excellent offensive line with Michael Orr, Matt Burke, and Ben Grubbs involved. On the defensive side, Khalil Nada anchoring the D-line. Ray Lewis, of course, at linebacker with Terrell Suggs. And their DB core looks awesome. Ed Reed, Walt Harris, an acquisition from the 49ers, regular Pro Bowl appearance, and Dominic Foxworth. Oh, wait, they're all hurt. Damn it. So the struggle for the Ravens at this point will be at corner and amongst the DBs. Amongst anybody in their remaining crew, any names worth mentioning, anything, anybody got anything that stands out in particular?
Ed Reed will be back. They don't know how long. They said it could be up to 6 weeks. But Foxworth and Wal Harris are both on injured reserve for their conference.
Exactly. So, which leads me to the place, if you're going to have a team with a weaker DB squad, that's not the Steelers because they were doing that regularly before Polamalu even arrived. Yeah, Ike Taylor's decent, but I think if there's a team that's going to survive with a quote-unquote weaker DB core, it's going to be the Ravens. I think a lot of it pivots on Flacco showing up, and though I did just accuse him of being underrated, when you got that much firepower on offense, you have to succeed. When you have that good an offensive line, you will. 12-4 for the Ravens. Weaver.
I got them 4-2 in the division, 10-6.
Chris.
I got them 4-2 in the division, 9-7.
Wow.
I just think they're secondary. I mean, you got the great linebackers and defensive line. You can get the pressure. Your corners need to be mediocre, but how these corners, what they've been doing the last couple of years, they're going to be struggling there, and you can just jump back and just throw the ball and let someone run underneath it. I don't think the corner's going to be able to, who they have coming, or whoever they have replacing, is not going to be able to, like, cover Cincinnati's receivers.
And the difference, the difference between me and both you guys is I have them 4-2 in the division as well, so that's probably the pivotal point.
We all have them 4-2.
Oh, do we then? Okay.
I thought you
said 2-4. I beg your pardon. Okay. So, well, speaking of teams that will only have 2 wins no matter what, we go to the Cleveland Browns. Look, people, when you acquire Jake Delhomme and it's a vast improvement for your team, you know you're in trouble to start with. Personally, I would start the backup to Wallace right now because Delhomme is definitely on his last leg, so we say. And, of course, Colt McCoy will be holding a clipboard this year, just as he should be. Running backs, Jerome Harrison, he's decent. Peyton Hillis is probably one of the most underappreciated versatile players. Can play running back, fullback, can do the tight end duties. Basically, all of your beefier skill positions, he can play them. He did it in Denver quite successfully, but nobody's heard of the guy. It's unfortunate. The two good things about covering the Browns is, one, hear about who Muhammad Masakoi is. He's a very decent receiver, and you get to watch Josh Cribbs work. That's a bad man of them, and I don't care what you do. He can hold out like Darrell Revis, but you better pay him, too. If there was ever a situation where Darrell Revis and Josh Cribbs got on the same team, it would be bad for one reason. You wouldn't have enough payroll to pay the rest of your lineup. Bobby Engram, also an acquisition for the receiver core. The good news is an improved offensive line. Tony Pesos, Eric Steinbach, and Joe Thomas kind of anchored that. And Ben Watson, Robert Royal, and Alex Smith as tight ends. So, could be a factor there. On defense, big names there. Linebacker Scott DeGita, defensive tackle Sean Rogers, and DB Sheldon Brown. Still not enough on defense. Offense looks better, but not great. I see them getting blanked in the division, 2-14 overall. Weedle.
They had a linebacker, Terrell Jackson. Last year he had a torn pectoral, missed the season. Coming back this year, another chest injury, so it looks like he's going to miss the season.
Oh,
so, they have a quarterback, Eric Wright, that has to play. Have them 1-5 in the division, 4-12 overall.
Optimist. Chris.
And also, Sean Rogers, you don't know about with that gun charge.
Yeah.
He's going to be missing anything yet. They haven't decided. So, I got him 2-4 in the division, 4-12.
Y'all are so optimistic.
I got them beating Cincinnati one game. I know it's not realistic, but it's
I'll tell you this.
You never know. It's always a good game.
That's more realistic than you think because the Bengals tend to throw a game away as they go along, but let's transition to them as a good little segue point there. Carson Palmer at the cornerback position. A lot of people are saying, if you don't make it this year, all that hype you got when you first came out, completely undeserved. That seems to be the sentiment from a lot of the sources that I see in here. Thing worth note, third string quarterback, also named Palmer. Yes, they were late. Running back Cedric Benson and Bernard Scott, decent little pairing. Of course, the news is that wide receiver Chad Johnson, not Ocho Cinco, because he got shut down by Darrell Revis last year and did not honor his promise of changing his name back to Johnson like he said he would. Anybody remember that? I do. Then, of course, Terrell Owens making all the big news. I like the part in the Hall of Fame game where Johnson came out with the gold shoes. And Terrell Owens said, yeah, he's just like a woman. He's got all sorts of shoes with all sorts of different colors and things like that. I'm like, wow. So, but like, a joke like that can be made and there's camaraderie off of it. A lot of people would say two egos, same locker room, big problem. The fact that that exchange has been taking place, the fact that there's been all the Batman and Robin banter back and forth, I think it was a good move. I think it's going to work. But a lot of people say with this year, or with Terrell Owens, for this year. We'll leave it at that. And then, of course, Antonio Bryant, a solid number 3 receiver as well. Anybody have anything to add on the offense at all? Or?
Okay. As long as they win, everything's going to be okay.
And they did draft the tight end, the receiving tight end, that they haven't had. since Palmer's been there, so...
Well, that's not completely true. Reggie Kelly's been solid, but the past 2 years he's also been hurt.
Right.
So,
For this rookie tight end coming in, Grisham?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to open up the field if they're going to be covering Theo and Chad, so... You know, just look for him, too. It's another sleeper for the fantasy there.
Championship! Market! D-line... features Robert Gethers as it has the past couple years. And then the linebacker core kind of surprised me a lot better than I thought. Dahani Jones, Ray Maliuga, and Keith Rivers. Of course, I believe Maliuga may be possibly facing some sort of a suspension regarding alleged drug use. I've not heard anything actually come of that yet, but the rumor mill has been hit. Corners Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph, the factor. But of course, the newsworthy thing is one Adam Jones, betterly known as Pac-Man. Found it very interesting. It was pointed out to me by my co-host in the pre-show. We got Terrell Owens, Tank Johnson at defensive tackle, and Pac-Man, all former Cowboys who were also given the troublemaker tag. And now they're all together again in the same locker room. It's a very interesting interesting thing, which leads me to a new slogan for the city of Cincinnati. The city of second chance. Anyways, or third, or fourth, or fifth.
Yeah.
Right, but
Cincinnati has had their last few years of running with laws. I mean, look at Chris Henry.
Oh, we can't be real like that anymore.
Anyways. And all the other ones. There's like in every day there's someone getting around.
Jonathan Joseph is actually one such example, absolutely. So, anyways, enough about drama. Let's get to the story. 10-6 for the Bengals. Splitting the division, Weaver.
4-2 in the division, 11-5.
Chris.
Yeah, they also picked up Jim Earl Wilson, so a safety.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of strengthens their defensive backs, their Pac-Man.
Kind of, maybe.
Nah, I got them 4-2 and 11-5 also.
Okay. So then let's go over to probably the team that, unfortunately for the fans in question, I think took the biggest step back in the division this year. And of course, I refer to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, regardless of whatever alleged trade talks were out there during the time of Ben Roethlisberger's alleged sexual misconduct charges, well, the charges aren't alleged, but the act is, whatever. Roethlisberger is out 4-6 games. I think he got hit pretty hard for not even being officially charged with the crime, but they still do have Byron Leftwich, Charlie Batch, and Dennis Dixon in the lineup. All pretty solid backups, to be honest with you. Rashard Mendenhall, really the only recognizable running back threat. I believe they drafted at least one. Yes, Weaver? It was late, okay. And then,
Mendenhall's hurt right now, too.
Yeah. Linus Sweet is also out for the year. No big loss there to anybody who's seen his recent performance. Hines Ward, of course, leading the way into the receiver corps. Mike Wallace, he will not replace Santonio Holmes, but I think he'll do well enough to succeed him.
Yeah.
And then I saw something very interesting. Antoine Randall out back on the roster. Do you think he'll be the third option?
They drafted the wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, but it'd be 3-4. Third or fourth. That'd be all right.
Okay, let me put it this way. Over or under 3.5 in roster placement for Antoine Randall, though?
Over.
Okay, so he will be the number 3. Chris?
He'll be number 3.
I think so, too. Okay. At least he'll start number 3. We'll see that there. Now, also worthy of mention, Willie Colon on the offensive line is out as well. Big deal. The Pittsburgh Steeler line, offensive line, has gone up and down. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And when they're not, Ben usually rescues himself somehow. They won't have Ben back there to do that. It's a very chaotic dynamic for the offense, for certain. On the defense, we still got Hoke Hantum, Brad Kiesel, and Aaron Smith. Decent defensive line. Linebacker core still awesome. James Harrison, Lawrence Timmons, Lamar Woodley, James Ferrier. Solid crew. Ike Taylor at corner. Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark at safety. still a good defense, if people can stay healthy. Not mentioning any names, Troy Polamalu, but they'll have to carry the burden.
Didn't Ike Taylor get hurt too?
I didn't see that.
I might be wrong though.
I mean, but like, you know, and it's like we said before earlier, if anybody can flourish with hurt corners, it's the Steelers. Again, as long as Polamalu's all right. So, despite the fact they'll have a good defense, everybody else beefed up on offense in this division, the Steelers will struggle to come out with a competitive but falling short 9-7, splitting the division. Weaver.
Same thing. 3-3 in the division, 9-7.
Chris.
Yeah, 2-4 and 7-9 overall.
Which, you know, again, like a lot of their games seem to be just in the nature of being in this division, it could come down to a number of points whether or not it goes 9-7 or 7-9. Seriously, it's what it's been for not just the Steelers, but for the Ravens as well, I think, in that division. So that'll wrap us up for the AFC North. You want to go ahead and let us know how you feel about our picks, go ahead and email us at SOTG@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, the SOTG. And we will see you for the next preseason action.